L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number two, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. It is a Monday morning following Super Bowl Sunday. The Philadelphia Eagles, a Super Bowl champion for the second time in 8 years, the second time in franchise history. A second Lombardi Trophy replica will be placed on Donnie Wright's side set in just a few days. We continue our reactions into this second. What was that? Take a couple more days.
It takes
than
a while, B Dubless. Yeah. It takes probably like a month, month and a half, maybe. So okay. I get the Eagles have their celebration, which is going to have the parade on Friday. The Lombardi will be there. So I have to have sort of one that's going to be in a couple months. Like you got to, cook a nice, meal up for lunch, because since we don't eat dinners around this part, and we'll put the Lombardi there, and we'll sort of have a party around it. So that's what we're getting ready for in a couple months. Yeah.
Your own personal parade. Maybe it will be a nice day in April or May, and you can go out on the back porch and smoke a stogie like they were doing in the Eagles locker room last night as well. Donnie, before we continue to move forward, let's look back on the end of this dynastic run for Kansas City. The dynasty very well could continue, but this era, especially in the hunt for history, to be the first three-peat champion in the Super Bowl era ever in the National Football League, trying to become the first team ever to win three consecutive Lombardi trophies, we put a pin in it now because this run has come to a close. You mentioned it. When Patrick Mahomes was out there in 16 regular season games, Kansas City won 15 of them. You will see the overall record be 17-3, but really with Mahomes as the starter and ending the game, they won 17 of 19, 12 of those 17 by a single score. And Donnie, there was an idea that certainly at that point, the karmic luck of coming out on that side, often feeling like they were pulling off magical moments to escape with a victory, would catch up to them. It did last night in New Orleans, not snapping a 17-game win streak in single-possession games, but getting absolutely blown out by the Birds. So this era is done, but it seems as though KC will be back. In the overall legacy for Andy Reid in Kansas City, and certainly for Patrick Mahomes, as Tom Brady was up in the booth calling a game that maybe could have changed the entirety of the GOAT debate, how will this loss and the loss in Super Bowl 55 factor into how we view Patrick Mahomes as the greatest to ever do it?
It's a great question you bring up, too, because it's hard to get to the Super Bowl, and it's even harder to win it. We understand that. If we equate it to the NBA terms here, LeBron has had a lot of success here. But let's just say you see Patrick Mahomes is the greatest of all time, and he gets back to another Super Bowl, Ben, and they lose it. And they go, oh, well, maybe he doesn't have it, even though he's won multiple Super Bowls. It's unfair, but it is fair in the realm of when you're talking about the greatest of all time. That matters. What's Tom Brady have? 7 rings out of 10 Super Bowls? Is he 7-3, I believe, overall? Lost 2 to the Giants, 1 to the Philadelphia Eagles. So when you line that up, you say, okay, that's the measuring stick. He's got to get the 7, but he can't get the 7 while getting to 14 Super Bowls and go 7-7. Because you're great. graded on once you get to that big game, what's the performance there? Joe Montana doesn't have the most rings in NFL history, but you know, we still talk about him. He went to four, he won all four. That's the way you get it done and put yourself out there. What have you done for me lately? Yes, but what have you done for me in that big game? In the overall scope of things now, nothing changes for me for Patrick Mahomes, because I think he's going to go down as either the best quarterback of all time or at least the second best, just based on how young he is and what we think is going to happen over the next couple years. Would we be shocked? Hey, even if he picks up one Super Bowl win over the next 5 years, that's still an outrageously crazy good career for Patrick Mahomes. But for me, it doesn't change a lot. It just says, you know what? It might slow the train down, Ben, just a little bit, because if he got three in a row and tacked on four and he would have won the MVP, it's like, wait a second. This guy could win six Super Bowls, six MVPs, and have a three-peat here, then you're already saying, I don't care how many rings Brady has or how many Super Bowls he got to, this guy's the best to ever do it.
If Patrick Mahomes would have won last night, he would have had a distinction that Tom Brady could not match. That would be the first quarterback and first team ever to win three consecutive Super Bowl championships. They come up short of that. Tom Brady won three Lombardi trophies in his first 4 years in the National Football League, technically first five, but first four full years as a starter. And then took the Pats 9 years to win another, which is what they did in a matchup a couple of years later. So, again, Tom Brady with the longevity has seven Super Bowl championships, seven Super Bowl rings, but I believe the age was 37. And then Tom won four after that age because he played 22 seasons in the National Football League and was fully healthy for two decades of that. So that will be the next test for Patrick Mahomes. But at 29 years old, we know the longevity and at least many more chances of contending for that Lombardi Trophy are going to be there in Kansas City. But this dynastic run, this hunt for history in three consecutive Super Bowls, now comes to a close. Let's talk about the actual wagers that you could have had to make some money in the final football game of the season. Jalen Hurts to hit Pater, a minus 120 number at close. Second best price only behind Saquon Barkley, who did not score. He was the first touchdown scorer of the game. A.J. Brown scored for Philadelphia. He has scored in each of his two Super Bowl appearances with the Birds. Devontae Smith scoring the first ever touchdown receiving or rushing by an Alabama player in Super Bowl history, at least drafted out of Alabama in the National Football League. And how about on his 22nd birthday, Cooper DeJean capping off an incredible rookie season, his first career INT in his time in the National Football League, taking it back to the house, put Philadelphia up 17-0 early in that opening half. Sure, the Chiefs scored a couple of touchdowns in the final 15 and a half minutes of regulation. But again, the story really on the Eagles side.
Yes, and by the way, Cooper DeJean, I believe, was somewhere around 250-1 to be the MVP of the Super Bowl. After that pick six here, you realize it might be a blowout and you don't need to get big quarterback play or big running back play. He was certainly in the mix, but you are looking at my two favorite guys to score a touchdown initially. One of those was A.J. Brown. I bet that yesterday, one of my favorite bets, plus 180. I did like Jalen Hurts to score a touchdown, minus 115 as it was for the most part of last week. Didn't end up betting that, but also thought on the other side, you know, Kareem Hunt, who didn't score, would have been a factor in that game, but that game was so out of whack, there was no way they were running the football late in that game on the goal line. So you do see some of the usual suspects that if you're just betting a game, but the big one missing there, right? Saquon Barkley overall, 109 and a half as his prop here, doesn't go near that. Most people probably had him in some sort of touchdown parlay to find the end zone. I thought he would have done that as well. But for me, you know, looking at AJ Brown as my favorite at plus 180, that was the one I was really happy with cashing in, and away we go. But the other price points there, Xavier Worthy, probably expectations there. Yes, DeAndre Hopkins woke up finally and scored a touchdown, but in a runaway game, the running backs really weren't too involved in the overall scoring there.
That's very true. Xavier Worthy, perhaps the only bright spot, silver lining for KC last night, mostly in garbage time, but still eight grabs on eight targets for 157 yards and two touchdowns. I believe it is now for the seventh time in the last 11 Super Bowls, we have a player, at least one player in a Super Bowl to score multiple times. The rookie wide receiver and the speedster out of Texas putting that on full display last night. Donnie, perhaps because of the game script, but also because of Philadelphia's front, The Chiefs had just 11 carries as a team for 49 yards in total. Mahomes, 4 runs for 25 yards, the fewest yards he has had on the ground ever in his Super Bowl career. 3 carries for 9 yards for Kareem Hunt. 3 carries for 7 yards for Isaiah Pacheco. Part of that is because Kansas City was basically trailing all game long and for a majority of the game by multiple scores, but that was just kind of crazy to see, and we thought it would be a big component of the game. Could Kansas City have success on the ground to keep pace with Philadelphia? That was not the case last night. A couple final thoughts on the Super Bowl, but the NFL offseason is here, and it is not slow to start. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some final Super Bowl prop bets that you can only bet for the biggest football game of a season on Super Bowl Sunday. Donnie, a profitable day for me in terms of a lot of these bets. Shortest touchdown for the 7th time in the last 11 Super Bowls, under 1.5 yards, maybe even 8th time in the last 11, courtesy of Jahan Dotson being down at the 1, and of course a tush push for Philadelphia. Longest touchdown over 34.5. That happened multiple times on some deep throws to Devontae Smith and Xavier Worthy. Longest field goal over Jake Elliott. What a night it was. Ball off his foot last night. Sounded like an absolute cannon, who had struggled from deep this year. 1 of 8 entering, did hit a 50-yarder and a couple of 48-yarders over 47.5, over 26.5. By the way, for the shortest field goal, a bet I cashed, and thank God we had a couple of false starts or disconcerting signals, illegal snaps, whatever the declaration was for Philadelphia, because Jake Elliott drilled a 24-yarder, but a false start moved it back to the 29, or a 29-yard field goal attempt, and converted. We saw multiple two-point attempts. We saw multiple two-point conversions. Tails never fails. In yellow-green, that winning Gatorade color for Philadelphia, matching their primary color as well. DRS, not sure if you guys talked about those props during your week in the Big Easy, but it was astounding to see the colors shift in terms of the Gatorade odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook overnight. Purple was the favorite. The Chiefs were the favorite. They had been using purple as their Gatorade color the last 2 Lombardi Trophy wins, and then quickly flipped to yellow-green, maybe an indication the Eagles would be on the right side as the shortest price.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. We talked about that problem specifically with the Gatorade, and Joe Lisi's cap was he thinks it's going to be clear because Andy Reid said that he wants to look good on the podium once they win the 3rd Super Bowl. So that was his handicap on the clear, which obviously didn't come in because the Eagles won, ended up being lime green. But also, how about the longest kick there? And also, Jake Elliott. Is he one of the best postseason kickers in history? Only has one total miss in his career in the postseason, which was against Washington from 54 yards. But in the Super Bowl, has made clutch kick after clutch kick. Understand this, too. That first kick of 48 yards after the false start, that was a 7-0 game. You miss that, you give the Kansas City Chiefs the ball roughly at midfield. Maybe that could have been a momentum builder here. So he was clutch that entire way through. But everything, like the under 1.5 makes too much sense with the Eagles, because all they do is pulverize you from the 1-yard line on a simple quarterback sneak. That came in easy. So, and yes, tails for me. I always vote tails in the Super Bowl, and it came up tails again. No handicap on that at that point, but it does make sense. Popular prop is, you're right, the longest field goal. What a better way to win that. Or how about if you're on the under on that, going, hey, field goal's good, move it back 5 more yards, smack field goal, win it by a half of a yard. That's tremendous, those wins, when you know somebody's on the other side going like, this is ridiculously, what a bad beat. And it wasn't even like a false start where like the tackle went, or like the long snapper got called for the false start, which is something you never see.
Couple of changing prices early. Yeah. Jahan Dotson down. If you had his number to score, or maybe even the first touchdown, boy, you hate that immediate replay assist. But for me, Jalen Hurts at plus 600 to be the first touchdown score in Super Bowl 59 because of that exact idea that the Eagles would get down to the 2 or 1 yard line and use the brotherly shove. Oh, man, did I absolutely love it. Jake Elliott. His points prop for the game, 6.5, he finished with 16. He had missed 3 extra points already in the playoff run for Philadelphia. Perfect last night. Perfect in his field goal tries as well. 4 for 4. Was 1 of 8 from 50-plus this year. Hit a 50-yarder last night. Harrison Butker did not attempt a single kick, crazy, extra point or otherwise. He had the higher points prop from a kicker perspective at 7.5 entering. Maybe if you were up in the Great White North with our friends up in Canada on FanDuel, you had a much, you had plenty more options in terms of the halftime show, special appearances for a song for Kendrick Lamar. Donnie Wrightside, did you like the halftime show last night inside the Superdome?
No, it was brutal. And like I sent a tweet out last night. Imagine if you are a football fan, but you don't have a kinship here to the Chiefs and or the Eagles. And let's just say you did have a kinship to the Kansas City Chiefs. That wasn't a great game. So if I'm the casual fan, I look at them like commercials, absolutely nothing stood out. Halftime show, brutal. Game itself, brutal. I want to see what the ratings for this Super Bowl actually are when it's all said to be high in the Philadelphia area. Absolutely. But people are heading for the exits at halftime. And for me, and I'm actually happy here because I get stressed out during Eagles games, as you know, Ben. I really enjoyed the Rihanna performance a couple years ago with the Eagles with a 10-point lead. Then the Eagles collapsed in the second half. But this one, I had no interest in Kendrick Lamar. Took the pup up and down the street here for a quick walk, and the neighborhood was on fire at the half. So apparently, they had the same ideas as me. Why watch this halftime show? We could party in the streets and yell and scream as much as we want. Mm-hmm. Then you go back in for the second half. So Kendrick Lamar, for me, actually a good performance because I didn't want to watch it, didn't miss anything. Walked the dogs, and the Eagles won. So maybe it was a good halftime show.
I thought it was fantastic. The inclusion of Samuel L. Jackson, a great performer. Serena Williams out there doing the crip walk. Listen, the Chiefs lost bad. Patrick Mahomes had a tough night for his career legacy. Nobody down worse than Drake right now in the generational run that not like us and Kendrick has had in the last 4, 5, 6 months on full center stage in New Orleans at a Super Bowl. Just to note, last year's Super Bowl was a record between the Chiefs and the Niners in terms of TV viewership. 123.4 million viewers. They expect this year's numbers to eclipse that. We'll see if, frankly, a bad football game is going to stand in the way of that record viewership that was anticipated, because it was a bad football game. Even if the Chiefs came up short, Donnie, I still expected this game to be tight, as the odds makers did as well. 18 cents of difference on the money line, a total at 48.5. It was anything but. It was a poor football game in our final one of the season.
Yes, it was. And by the way, like, my final score prediction was 31-20 Eagles. Oh, what a homer pick. But you have to understand, like, I wasn't going to pick the Eagles in a close game because the Chiefs always win close games. Yeah. So I thought the way the Eagles would win is hopefully they would have a double-digit lead, and they did. So it sort of worked out in my favor just by default on what you thought was going to happen.
A lot of plus money available in the alt spreads. If you thought that would be the case, and sure enough, it was. The rest of the National Football League next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line, the 2024 NFL season now officially in the books. The Philadelphia Eagles, a Super Bowl champion in Super Bowl 59 in the Big Easy. We will continue to celebrate Philadelphia, the pinnacle of the sport achieved by the Eagles. But Donnie, it's officially the NFL offseason. All right, are we done with football? Absolutely not. The offseason still king around the National Football League, and plenty of news in the lead up to Super Bowl Sunday and even in the weekend, including yesterday, Donnie, in the end of an error. That's not a typo. The end of an error in New York. Aaron Rodgers' 2-year tenure with the Jets is now officially coming to a close. A new regime led by Aaron Glenn and Darren Moogie. They have decided Aaron Rodgers is not going to return as their quarterback this upcoming season. According to Jay Glazer of Fox Sports DRS, Aaron Rodgers flew back to New Jersey last week to meet with the Jets brass about his future with the team, only to be told by the Jets brass were making a move in a different direction at the quarterback position. Can't blame them. Now we wait on Aaron Rodgers to see what his future is going to be in the NFL. 20 NFL seasons, now 41 years old. Will he return to the National Football League? That is the question.
By the way, Jets fans, accountability, as I said last week, is back in the building. You have to be excited by this news coming out. Oh, no. Understand this, Ben. The Jets don't even know who their quarterback is going to be next year, but they know it can't be Aaron Rodgers. And I said, when the new GM comes in and the coach comes in, Woody Johnson said, like, oh, absolutely, if they want him back, he'll be back. The fact that they were able to get in the room together and say, we can't, I know you paid this guy a lot of money, we're going to eat a lot of dead cap space, but let me build this foundation here. We can't go another year and have Aaron Rodgers sidetrack so many things in the locker room or try to talk to Woody Johnson over the general manager or head coach's head here. This shows me that Aaron Glenn understands what it takes to build a football team from the ground up, and he's going to do that. Yes, is it going to hurt the team because you're going to eat $50 to $60 million in dead cap space, but the sign of a new coach coming in going like, I don't care who my quarterback is, the record, who cares what it will be, let me build this thing into a winning organization. Jets fans, as I said, congratulations, you're on the path to success now, and it starts immediately.
DRS, more than likely, you saw it there, a June 1st designation, meaning if you are cut after June 1st, the dead cap hit and what it costs your team annually is going to be less. You are still on the hook for what the remainder of the contract is owed out, around $49 million estimated for Aaron Rodgers, but only $14 million of a dead cap hit for 2025 if Aaron Rodgers is released after June 1st, which would be the plan. Now, Aaron Rodgers for himself, does he want to come back to the football? Does he want to come back to the National Football League? Return somewhere else or retire, DRS? What do you think will be the selection?
It's got to be a good spot because this isn't going to be one of those where, hey, let me go to a bad football team just looking for a name here to try to sell some tickets. Is it one of those intriguing spots where he might be able to land in San Francisco if the Brock Purdy negotiations don't go well? Is it going to be the Minnesota Vikings who say, you know what, J.J. McCarthy still with the knee injury, still a young kid here. Maybe he can learn behind Aaron Rodgers. But let's be honest here. It wasn't as if Aaron Rodgers is leaving the Jets in a power position. That was a disastrous 2 years that showed him getting older and not able to hold up behind an average offensive line. So is he just able to go to the 49ers and get it all back together? I don't think so. This is a tough look for Aaron Rodgers. To me, players want to go out on their own terms. If he retires, he's not going out on his own terms by being let go by the New York Jets.
Could he follow the Brett Favre arc? Leave Green Bay after more than a decade and a half, go to New York and make his way to Minnesota? Might J.J. McCarthy need a shepherd to guide him? That we shall see. But Donnie, to your point, it was never successful during his Jets tenure. Four offensive snaps into his first year in 2023, a ruptured left Achilles. And in this year as a full starter, never had success. The New York Jets only winning five games. He was not the MVP winner back-to-back that we saw in 2020 and 2021. He looked like a 40-plus-year-old quarterback. We'll see what his prospects are around the NFL if he decides to even return. I think, as Jay Glazer mentioned in his report, or his scoopage, if you will, that Aaron Rodgers flying to New York to meet with the Jets could be an indication he still wants to lace him up and play. We shall see. More news around the NFL, including in San Francisco with Deebo Samuel. We'll talk about that up next here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, it is now the National Football League offseason, which means the drama is at an all-time high. When you surround Super Bowl week and weekend in New Orleans, you are always going to have some storylines. Aaron Rodgers, his time in New York is now through. Might that be the same story in San Francisco for Deebo Samuel, who signed a large extension just a few off-seasons ago? But in his exit interviews with his head coach, Kyle Shanahan, and the San Francisco brass, Deebo Samuel basically asked for a way out and has been given permission by the 49ers organization, DRS, to seek a potential trade this offseason. What do you make of this news for the 49ers entering what feels like a precarious offseason ahead?
It is a precarious offseason, but the one thing we know, this isn't the Deebo Samuels that we saw just two short years ago as one of the more dominant NFL wide receivers. It looks like he's cooked at this point and has hit the wall and has gained 20 pounds, isn't as explosive, and doesn't catch the football like he used to. So it seems like it's a marriage that's on its way out at this point, and probably best for each one of these guys, including the team and himself, to get a fresh start elsewhere. Maybe he can rejuvenate his career, put some work in the offseason, get back to the quickness, because for a while, Deebo Samuel, for me, was the toughest tackle in the NFL in the open space. Didn't matter if he was running a 4.240. Nobody could tackle the guy. And we haven't seen that in quite some time yet. So now a new organization might benefit him. But also understand this. As much as I joke about the salary cap in the NFL, and you can make things work, this is one of those where they go, boy, do we want to pay him around $20 million? We want to cut bait, then we can sign Brock Purdy. We can get another wide receiver in here. You get the point that we're going down here. But I do think this has ended for a divorce, no question.
Yeah, I think so as well. It will be interesting to see what the Niners can get back in return for Deebo Samuel, who, again, in the 2022 offseason, so now 2 years ago, signed a 3-year, $71 million extension through the end of this season, due nearly $17.5 million in the 2025 NFL campaign. It was a disastrous season for San Francisco, who entered 2024 as the Super Bowl favorites, despite coming up short in the most recent Super Bowl in Sin City against the Kansas City Chiefs. And a lot of that was because of gruesome injuries on both sides of the football all year long for the 49ers, unable to remain healthy, losing Brandon Ayuk early. Christian McCaffrey was rarely healthy. George Kittle dealing with his own injury issues throughout the season. But you know who really didn't? Deebo Samuel. He missed a game or two earlier in the year. But Donnie, when we were wondering what was happening with the 49ers offensively and a guy who could step up to get the Niners back on track, we kept saying, where is the ghost of Deebo Samuel? You look at the numbers, not a terrible year, 93 total touches for a guy that is both great as a receiver and, of course, you get the football in his hands on the ground. Over 806 scrimmage yards, only 4 total touchdowns. I'm not sure what the return is for Deebo Samuel at this stage of his career. Back in 2022, 2023, you would think a first rounder, if not a couple of early round draft picks, get like a day 3 guy back to San Fran, you might have yourself a deal.
No, you're right about that. I'm just like, look at the 49ers season. Like, they draft a rookie in the draft and his first round as a wide receiver. He ends up getting shot and misses a lot of the season. Brandon Ayuk blows his knee out as a wide receiver. Christian McCaffrey barely plays this year, it felt like. And Deebo Samuel has 4 total touchdowns here. Like, he should have been eaten all over the place saying, I can't even handle the workload that this team has given me at this point. So to see him with 93 touches and 4 total touchdowns and supposed to be the focal point of that offense with all that injuries, that's how disappointing a season it was for Deebo Samuel. And I don't know if you just get it back. Like, how many times we say, like, hey, look, guy looks like he's cooked, and what a year he has the next year. No, it usually stays on that same trajectory downward as opposed to going up.
Donnie, did you see him walking around Radio Row inside the convention center in the Big Easy late last week?
Clean and green. He was looking clean and green. Yes, he was.
First off, wearing the AJ Brown jersey is ridiculous for a guy in Deebo Samuel that almost single-handedly, after the 2022 NFC Championship game, said that if Brock Purdy was healthy, we beat you guys in your own home stadium. Brother, trying to make that a rivalry. To wear the Eagles Kelly Green jersey was crazy, but just to wear something over what looked like he'd been enjoying some beignets and some gumbo down there in the Bayou DRS.
Shrimp po'boys all over the place. By the way, we did have some nice air on a couple of interviews down there, Ben, where we got to have some cuisine on air live. So, he might have been doing that same thing just times 10 for what we were doing.
I mean, listen, like, it looked like he enjoyed himself in the Big Easy. It is one of the great party cities in this country. A lot of people, I'm sure, having a ton of fun. DRS, 7 head coaching vacancies in the National Football League at a stage of this offseason. 6 have been filled, as you would expect. It's mid-February after a Super Bowl. Only one remains outstanding. That's officially as of right now, because it has been expected for the last 2-3 weeks, and we expect it to become official at some point here in the next few hours, few days, this week. Eagles offensive coordinator Kellen Moore is expected to become the New Orleans Saints head coach, barring any unexpected developments. This a report officially on Saturday night from Adam Schefter. But Donnie, it's really what we have known for the last two and a half weeks or so. Kellen Moore will get his first head coaching job, will remain in New Orleans trying to resurrect this Saints offense into 2025 and beyond.
It's not a great job in New Orleans, but understand this. When you could walk into that room and flash that ring and say, you guys want to be great on offense, see what I just did? I can sell that to my organization. And it was the worst kept secret over the past week and a half, where everybody was bowing out for the job except for Kellen Moore. And it's a shame, because we always talk about the timeline, the way the NFL offseason moves. There should be a moratorium where the end of the season to the Super Bowl, nobody can hire anybody, to give everybody a fair chance at that point. Because the shame of it is, the Philadelphia Eagles, who probably would attract the best and the brightest to say, boy, you want to take over Kellen Moore, you put in one good year, you'll probably be a head coach as well. Everybody's already been hired. The Eagles, who went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, lost their offensive and defensive coordinators. You saw that turned out. They were a mess on offense and defense the following season before righting the ship by getting the great Vic Fangio and a certainly proven product in Kellen Moore. But for Kellen, I can't fault you. When there's one of 32 jobs open, you'd never had a head coaching job before, strike while the iron's hot. He did that. Bobby Slowick wasn't able to do that. Ben Johnson was able to do that. But hopefully he gets a pretty clean track there down in New Orleans. But being a conquering hero now, winning in New Orleans the Super Bowl, then becoming the Saints head coach, they're probably pretty happy down there, Ben.
Listen, again, it is not a great situation. Mickey Loomis has been the general manager for a very long time. A lot of people around the Saints organization, not in it, but around it, think that needs to change to try to guide a new direction in the Big Easy. Kellen Moore is 36 years old, turns 37 this summer. First-time head coach and a genius offensive mind in his young career as a coach around the NFL. But Donnie, for Philadelphia, now the second time playing in a Super Bowl in the last 3 years, this time winning a Super Bowl and having to replace coordinators after 2022, both Shane Steichen and Jonathan Gannon depart for head coaching jobs. Now Kellen Moore becomes the head coach in New Orleans. They will have to fill the OC spot in Philly. But you would expect Vic Fangio, who is maybe the mastermind of all of this team's success in the history we saw out of the Eagles, would remain there as the defensive coordinator.
Yes, and the good part about that is, which is what the Kansas City Chiefs been able to get away with, having one of the best defensive coordinators in football never get looked at for a head coaching job because maybe they think he's a little bit too old. Vic Fangio actually is old, just like Jim Johnson was old in Philadelphia, but never getting that look. The Eagles are going to be a big winner because Vic Fangio is probably not going to get a head coaching job, and he's probably just fine with that. So at least you have stability on the defensive side now, where you don't lose both your offensive and defensive coordinators.
Nearly 70 years old, Vic Fangio, but still one of the brightest defensive minds, as was put on full display last night inside the Superdome. That should be some great congruency for Philadelphia entering 2025. So what about 2025? The Super Bowl 60 odds next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sure, it's the first full day of the 2025 NFL offseason, but it is never, and I mean never, too early to look at the odds for the future in the available markets that are already out. Let's talk Super Bowl 60 by the Bay in Santa Clara, California, at Levi's Stadium, the home of the 49ers. Here are the Super Bowl 60 odds entering 2025. If you said my home stadium, that's incorrect. My home state,
hometown,
would be
hometown.
That's
even closer.
Honestly,
even
like
closer.
Not too far off. Santa Clara is a beautiful area, so I'm not mad about it whatsoever. The Chiefs, DRS, open as our Super Bowl favorites for the 2025 NFL campaign at plus 650. Ravens, Eagles, Bills. How about a three-way tie for the second best odds to hoist that Lombardi Trophy in Santa Clara, California? 7-1, and the Lions round out the top five at a 9-1 number. Those the five organizations with a three-digit price, sub 10-1 to win next year's Lombardi Trophy. Do you have any issue with any of it? The Chiefs opening ahead of everybody else as a favorite? The grouping where the Eagles find themselves alongside those other teams from the AFC? The Lions being under a 10-1 price? Any issue, DRS, or does it feel fitting?
No, it feels fitting. And again, they're all close. It's not as if it's like the Chiefs are 2-1. The Eagles are 9-1 at this point. They're within 50 cents of each other. Talking about the Chiefs, Buffalo Bills, Philadelphia Eagles, and the Baltimore Ravens, and the Lions just behind them. The usual suspects, as we like to say. Now, granted, you just saw the Eagles play and win a Super Bowl. It is so hard to get back into the NFL. They sort of turn the tide against you. A first-place schedule. You get the last draft pick in each round at this point. So it is set up for parity in the NFL. But it's still going to be Andy Reid. It's still going to be Patrick Mahomes. The Buffalo Bills are a quality team. The Eagles just won the Super Bowl. They have a young defense coming back. They won't be able to keep everybody. We'll see what happens there. But Howie Roseman usually is a genius. He'll probably be able to sign everybody and even add another fantastic player to the team. The Ravens always with the pedigree. The Lions super talented. And then some of the performers that underperformed in the Niners. The Commanders are young and healthy. Yeah. They expect to be back. The Bengals, if they can keep at least one of those wide receivers happy. You get the point here. I have no issues with the Kansas City Chiefs once again being there, because why? They're always in the mix and in the Super Bowl, so why not make them the favorite again?
Again, if you would bet the very opening preseason price or offseason number on the Chiefs to win the AFC Championship or a Super Bowl in the last 7 years that Patrick Mahomes has been the starting quarterback in Kansas City, you would be wildly profitable, even with KC coming up short of a three-peat last night in New Orleans. And Donnie, that is the idea once again. We heard from Andy Reid in the opening hour. We heard from Patrick Mahomes how this group will learn from this moment of an utter defeat in Super Bowl 59. The two losses Kansas City has seen in their Super Bowl attempts have been in blowouts, 31-6 in Super Bowl 55 against Brady and the Bucs, of course, last night by 18, but not even truly that close in the Big Easy. But the odds makers are telling you, Chiefs will be fine. Kansas City will be back. I do believe correctly, KC should have the shortest number in the AFC. The Ravens and the Bills only 50 cents back. That is going to be a very tight grouping, Donnie, when the AFC Championship odds come out this week, next week, whenever that might be. But again, I would just say to all of you, the Chiefs will not enter this year as the reigning champs of a Super Bowl. They will enter this year as the reigning AFC champions for a third consecutive season. It is true. They can look pedestrian. They can look poor. They can be knocked off their perch in a big way, as we saw Philadelphia do last night. But until Lamar Jackson and the Ravens change that narrative, and Josh Allen and Buffalo exercise their biggest playoff demon that is Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City, I'm not so sure I'm going to be rushing to the window to bet it, especially if the gap is a half dollar or maybe even less.
Exactly. And you know the Kansas City Chiefs are going to do? Rebuild that offensive line. Rashee Rice will be back next year. Hollywood Brown at full offseason, that he's probably healthy to get back in the mix. They're going to be okay. If we look also, let's just say the top five teams again, as you pointed out, 10-1 or less here. Do you know what team I'm worried about? And we'll go right over. Kansas City Chiefs. You know who's coming back? Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo. Buffalo Bills, probably going to have the same offensive coordinator and also defensive coordinator, which, again, would be Sean McDermott. You take a look at the Philadelphia Eagles. They are going to lose one in Kellen Moore, and that's a big deal. But Fangio coming back, and so is their head coach, Nick Sirianni. The Baltimore Ravens, defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, head coach coming back. How about the Detroit Lions? Dan Campbell, you love his grit and what he's bringing, that tough foundation, but they're now losing the engine to their offense with Ben Johnson and also the heartbeat of their defense, which was Aaron Glenn. That's going to be a tough one for the Lions. I know they're excited about who they're going to bring in and who they're going to make offensive defense and coordinators, keep everything in-house and see the way it goes. But at the same time, for me, those are tough losses. Ben Johnson was the best offensive coordinator in football for my money. He's gone. Let's see how they respond. But they're still being priced appropriately at 9-1. I just, out of all of those teams under 10-1, Ben, that's the team I worry about the most.
Yeah, and Donnie, you would look at Detroit and think it is a promising number for a team that was so banged up and did lose in the divisional round against the Commanders. But you would think, hey, players are healthy next year. This Lions team was an absolute wagon. They entered the postseason as the favorites to win a Super Bowl and, of course, then the NFC. But a lot of questions because of the change at coordinators on both sides. Can the Lions continue to see that success, hoping to play in their first Super Bowl in franchise history? That number, Donnie, on Detroit, 9-1, and the number right behind them on the 49ers at 17-1, the two I am most intrigued by. I could not wait to see what San Francisco would be booked at for a team that has been the odds makers' favorites for the last half decade, but just came off a disastrous season with an uneasy offseason ahead, with the biggest outstanding pay tab for Brock Purdy on the horizon, which makes the roster they have built around the quarterback that they have had at a discount much harder to maintain season over season. But if the Niners can get back to what we expect, that 17-1 could be a discount. And although I would tell you, I think the Bengals probably have the best price relative to value in the AFC at 24-1. I got to see who's there on week number one in 2025 before I bet Cincinnati to win a Super Bowl. MVP on. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Super Bowl 60 odds for 2025. How about the individual honor in the 2025 NFL MVP odds? DRS, we were not together, of course, on Friday, the day following the NFL Honor Show on Thursday that crowned Josh Allen the NFL MVP winner in 2024 in a very tightly contested race against Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, who was the reigning NFL MVP winner entering this season, will enter next year as the short favorite, plus 450, just a half dollar in front of Josh at a 5-1 price. Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow co-third shortest numbers at 7-1, and Jaden Daniels, after winning Offensive Rookie of the Year, an 11-1 price, which was a similar number we saw for C.J. Stroud most of last offseason. Will the sophomore slump or perhaps a small slide occur for Daniels in Washington? That remains to be seen. Donnie, I guess I'll kind of ask for your takeaway, your reaction to Josh Allen being named the NFL MVP this year, in kind of how you look at those two guys being separated by only a half buck atop the 2025 MVP odds.
You know what's interesting about this, too, because I sort of use this equation. It's almost a shame that the AP vote bank came out before the actual vote for who was going to win MVP, because it sort of swung the scales. Let's just go back to that day, and let's just say the NFL Players Association and or AP, whoever voted on it, said, you know what, it is Josh Allen. And then Josh Allen got the MVP. I don't think anybody would have cared all that much. Like, oh, that's just the way it is. But I think it skewed the thought process. And to me, both of the guys deserving to be MVPs. Josh Allen, I thought, got a little bit of a snub down the stretch because, number one, he put his big numbers up, let's just say, three quarters of the season. The final couple games of the year, he played in some really bad weather conditions. And also, in the last game of the year, Baltimore did play their starters, picked up a victory. Josh Allen did a quick cameo. So you saw the numbers were skewed in the direction late in the year for Lamar Jackson. But I didn't have a big-time issue. If I'm asking MVP, here's the problem with it. It's like comeback player of the year. A lot of people vote on it different ways than just the best overall player in the NFL. Like, an MVP was most valuable player. It doesn't necessarily mean just the best player, because I tried to explain it to people, like, well, what's your vision for the MVP? And I say, well, to me, Baltimore with a decent backup quarterback goes to the playoffs. The Buffalo Bills with a decent backup quarterback, they might be drafting in the top five this year in the NFL. So that's, and it's unfair to Lamar to do that to him because the team he plays with and Josh Allen. But as I said, more people vote MVP differently than just the straight up who's the best player at that position. I didn't have an issue either way. Happy for Josh. He got it done. He's had a great career so far. Hasn't gotten to the Super Bowl, but also for Lamar Jackson, snubbed maybe a little bit, but it's got multiple awards already at that point. I didn't have a big deal looking at that going, oh, what a robbery, Ben. I just didn't have that.
it is a narrative award. And Lamar Jackson's stats this year were better than the stats he had when he won the MVP award based on the narrative the Ravens were the best team in the NFL in 2023. Perhaps the narrative of voter fatigue. His third MVP award in his 6 years as the full-time starter in Baltimore. Come on, we can't do that, right? But because of the historic nature of this decision, Lamar Jackson is the first guy in NFL history to ever have more passing yards, more passing touchdowns, fewer interceptions, higher completion percentage, more rushing yards, so on and so forth, than the actual MVP winner, despite the fact that Josh Allen made history as well. The Bills had a better overall record. They won the AFC East for a fifth consecutive year when not really expected to do so entering the season because of everything Buffalo had lost. I'm not so sure, Donnie, based on these offseason odds, I would bet either guy. I'm not so sure I'd bet Patrick Mahomes. Maybe he comes out with some vengeance. He did win the award in 2022, the last time the Chiefs did not win a Super Bowl that ensuing season. Again, I think Joe Burrow can put up those MVP numbers if most everybody is back in Cincinnati, but perhaps that is the largest if around the National Football League all offseason. How about the guy that just won Super Bowl MVP and outdueled Mahomes for a second consecutive Super Bowl in Jalen Hurts? If he can keep those numbers consistent throughout a regular season, I think there is some value on Hurts at a 22-1 number.
There is, and also understand it's typically a quarterback award. Now, if we were to vote on the MVP at the end of the season, it probably would have came up Saquon Barkley, even though he had about 50 yards or so in the Super Bowl. Interesting point next year is Saquon's 50-1 to start out to be the MVP. Jahmyr Gibbs is 100-1. Maybe running backs should get more respect next year, and who knows? Jahmyr Gibbs has the wheels to put up big numbers, and if Saquon Barkley refreshed and ready at only 28 years old entering into next season, maybe he can get it done.
The resurgence of the running back, a big story in 2024. Yep. Hour number three, our third and final. That's next.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.